can be developed only by being trusted with somewhat more than they can at the moment do well. Footnote 23. Text. Today, the individual is trusted with precisely what he can at the moment do well. The philosophy of individualism has seen the essential freedom of the self to be that it stands for a fateful moment outside the all belongings and determines for itself alone whether its primary attachments shall be with actual earthly interests or with those of an ideal and potential kingdom of God. Footnote 24. Text. This ideal and potential kingdom has been defined in different ways, but it has always been characterized by contents which were opposed and transcended to the prevailing kingdom. Today, the prevailing type of individual is no longer capable of seizing the fateful moment which constitutes his freedom. He has changed his function from a unit of resistance and autonomy. He has passed to one of docility and adjustment. It is this function which associates individuals in masses. The emergence of the modern masses, far from endangering the efficiency and coherence of the apparatus, has facilitated the progressing coordination of society and the growth of authoritarian bureaucracy, thus refuting the social theory of individualism at a decisive point. The technological process seemed to tend to the conquest of scarcity and thus to the slow transformation of competition into cooperation. The philosophy of individualism viewed this process as the gradual differentiation and liberation of human potentialities, as the abolition of the crowd. Even in the Marxian conception, the masses are not the spearhead of freedom. The Marxian proletariat is not a crowd but a class defined by its determinate position in the productive process, the maturity of its consciousness, and the rationality of its common interest. Critical rationality in the most accentuated form is the prerequisite for its liberating function. In one aspect, at least, this conception is in line with the philosophy of individualism. It envisions the rational form of human association as brought about and sustained by the autonomous decision and action of free men. This is the one point at which the technological and the critical rationality seem to converge. For the technological process implies a democratization of functions. The system of production and distribution has been rationalized to such an extent that the hierarchical distinction between executive and subordinate performances is to an even smaller degree based upon essential distinction in aptitude and insight, and to an ever greater degree upon inherited power and a vocational training to which everyone could be subjected. Page 153. Even experts and engineers are no exceptions. To be sure, the gap between the underlying population and those who design the blueprints for rationalization, who lay out production, who make the inventions and discoveries which accelerate technological progress become daily more conspicuous, particularly in a period of war economy. At the same time, however, this gap is maintained more by the division of power than by the division of work. The hierarchical distinction of the experts and engineers result from the fact that their ability and knowledge is utilized in the interest of autocratic power. The technological leader is also a social leader. His social leadership overshadows and conditions his function as a scientist, for it gives him institutional power within the group, and the captain of industry acts in perfect accordance with the traditional dependence of the expert's function. Footnote 25. Text. There is not for this fact, the task of the expert and engineer would not be an obstacle to the general democratization of functions. Technological rationalization has created a common framework of experience for the various professions and occupations. This experience excludes or restrains those elements that transcend the technical control over matters of fact and thus extend the scope of rationalization from the objective to the subjective world. Underneath the complicated web of stratified control is an array of more or less standardized techniques tending to one general pattern which ensure the material reproduction of society. The persons engaged in a practical occupation seems to be convinced that any situation which appears in the performance of their role can be fitted in some general pattern with which the best, if not all, of them are familiar. Footnote 26, text. Moreover, the instrumentalistic conception of technological rationality is spreading over almost the whole realm of thought and gives the various intellectual activities a common denominator. They too become a kind of technique. Footnote 27, text. A matter of training rather than individuality, requiring the expert rather than the complete human personality. The standardization of production and consumption, the mechanization of labor, the improved facilities of transportation and communication, the extension of training, the general dissemination of knowledge, all these factors seem to facilitate the exchangeability of functions. It is as if the bases were shrinking on which the pervasive distinction between specialized, technical, and common knowledge, footnote 28, text, has been built, and as if the authoritarian control of function would prove increasingly foreign to the technological process. The special form, however, in which the technological process is organized counteracts this trend. Page 154. The same development has created the modern masses as the standardized attendance and dependence of large-scale industry, also created the hierarchical organization of private bureaucracies. Max Weber has already stressed the connection between mass democracy and bureaucracy, in contrast to the democratic self-administration of small, homogeneous units. The bureaucracy is the universal concomitant of modern mass democracy. Footnote 29, text. The bureaucracy becomes the concomitant of the modern masses by virtue of the fact that standardization proceeds along the lines of specialization. The latter by itself, provided that it is not arrested at the point where it interferes with the domain of vested control, is quite compatible with the democratization of functions. Fixated specialization, however, tends to atomize the masses and to insulate the subordinate from the executive functions. We have mentioned that specialized vocational training implies fitting to a man a particular job or a particular line of jobs, thus directing his personality, spontaneity, and experience to the special situation he may meet in filling the job. In this manner, the various professions and occupations, notwithstanding their convergence upon one general pattern, tend to become atomic units which require coordination and management from above. The technical democratization of functions is counteracted by their atomization, and the bureaucracy appears as the agency which guarantees their rational course and order. The bureaucracy thus emerges on an apparently objective and impersonal ground, provided by the rational specialization of functions, and this rationality in turn serves to increase the rationality of submission. Furthermore, the individual functions are divided, fixated and synchronized according to objective and impersonal patterns, the less reasonable it is for the individual to withdraw or withstand. The material fate of the masses become increasingly dependent upon the continuous and correct functioning of the increasingly bureaucratic order of private capitalistic organizations. Footnote 30, text. The objective and impersonal character of technological rationality bestows upon the bureaucratic groups of the universal dignity of reason. The rationality embodied in the giant enterprises makes it appear as if men, in obeying them, obey the dictum of an objective rationality. The private bureaucracy fosters a delusive harmony between the special and the common interest. Private power relationship appear not only as relationship between objective things, but also as the rule of rationality itself.